B-Pod Studios.
Hey, what's up? How we doing? Tuesday. Beetle, Hardy, Joe Murray, just sitting over there with his just sitting here hat on today. All back at it again.
I didn't notice this. I didn't notice until just now his hat says, just sitting here.
Just sitting here.
It's my first fan mail.
That's nice.
Came in. You actually handed it to me, Beetle.
I did. That was what was in that box that day?
Oh, yeah.
Now I know. Now I know.
So you could kind of take credit for giving it to him?
Like, no, I didn't give it to him. I just delivered the mail.
Yeah. I walked
in through the lobby. They said, could you bring this package to Joe Murray? I said, yeah, sure. And I brought it to him.
Nice.
All right. Let's start with Tom Brady today. This is what everybody in New England is talking about, aren't they? Everyone's talking about Tom Brady in his future. We did not get into these comments yesterday. But Robert Kraft has spoken to Peter King. And it's his hope and prayer that Tom Brady either plays for the Patriots or retires. And he says, you know what I said to myself? That any person who plays 20 years for this team and helps us get to 6 Super Bowls and been really selfless has earned that right. Talking about how important it was for him to be a free agent, that it was important to Tom Brady to get out there. I read these comments as he said, quote, it was very important to Tom that he be free to do whatever he wanted at the end of the year. And I look at it and I think, is there some like setting up of the whatever happens here? I didn't decide it. We didn't decide it as a team. This is Tom Brady's decision, which begs this question in my mind. It's now January 7th. Tom Brady will probably decide his future in the next couple of months. We'll say the next 60 days. He'll figure out what he wants to do. And then free agency will begin. And he will decide if he's going to go hard onto the market, or by that time he'll know what sort of the picture looks like and what the offer. I hope he'll have an idea of what the offer looks like from the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
If he leaves, who are we blaming? If he's gone, and I'm working on the assumption that the overwhelming majority of New England wants Tom Brady back as the team's quarterback next season.
Yes,
I hope I'm not wrong in thinking that.
Yeah, because if you take it the other way and you don't want Tom Brady as your quarterback, you think he's done, you think it's time to move on, you think you need to build for the future 5-6 years from now, the answer doesn't change, but the question changes to who are you thanking? So it's either who are you blaming for Brady leaving or who are you thanking for Brady leaving, because the answer is the same guy or the same group of guys.
It must be consistent.
It has to be.
If the person returns, if Brady's back, you would thank the same person that you would then blame, is how I feel about it. And you know what I think the answer to this question is? Who do you blame? Depends on the money. It's all going to come down to what the money is. If Brady takes a pay cut and doesn't take the best offer out there and he returns, or he is to sign a contract before free agency even begins and he doesn't hit the market, you could thank Tom Brady. That's what it is. And if he decides to leave and he leaves for, I guess, more money, then
now then the answer changes.
It does?
Yeah. Because if Tom Brady ends up staying, you can, like you said, you can almost say right now it will not be for the most money, and it will be for some kind of a nod to the Patriots. I want to stay here. I want to continue to play here, even though I had an offer of such and such from somewhere else, right? So if he stays,
if the offer gets matched, then you say, thank you, Robert Kraft. If they dole out big dollars to keep him,
Yeah. Okay. But if he goes somewhere else and you want him gone, it's because somebody is willing to pay him more money than Robert Kraft was. And you almost have to thank them because as good as Tom Brady is, there's probably going to be an offer out there for him that is beyond what he's really worth. And I don't mean just for next year. I mean, like most teams should be, you know, hiring their quarterbacks with an eye toward the next couple of years. Don't you think? I mean, that's not just the Patriot way. That's how most smart teams are built. They're built for at least a couple few years. They're not built just for next year. I think a Tom Brady hire is for one more year.
I don't think he thinks that.
Well,
I don't think any team that's looking to hire him should think that. So
see,
if he goes two years and a significant offer elsewhere, and the Patriots are not in the same ballpark, well, then you blame the team. And you say, you're the reason he left. You didn't give him more than you did when you restructured the last two times around. You didn't pay him market value. He demanded to get to the market, and you said, okay, no problem, go to the market, and then he walks away because you continue not to pay him. That's on the team. If the team turns around and pays him, then he gets a really good offer from the team, and it's right there. You know, even if it's not exactly the same dollar amount, but let's say it's 29 versus 30, you're in the same area, and he chooses to go elsewhere, it's on him. But the money's a big factor in this. That just can't be dismissed. The money is what it's all about.
You think so?
Yep.
Still.
Yes. If it were not about the money, what else is it that's driving him away?
Years.
Well, isn't money and years the same thing?
No.
Guaranteed cash?
No.
Guaranteed money?
No.
Years equal guaranteed money.
Well, guaranteed years that you're going to play the game. And if he wants to play for two or three more years and he won't take no for an answer, and the Patriots or any other team say, look, Tom, we think, obviously, it's greatest of all time, but this is going
to
end.
And the only way you commit to the years, though, is by giving more money. They're one and the same. If another team says, yeah, we'll take you for 3 years, here's a three-year deal for $100 million or whatever the overpayment might be.
Okay, and this is where...
Because no team is going to guarantee to him you'll be on the field in 3 years. They can guarantee that they'll pay you in that third year. They're not going to guarantee that you play. If you suck and you are completely terrible in the 2022 season, no team in this league is going to say, we guarantee we'll start you a quarterback no matter how bad you are. The only guarantee they can make you is in the form of cash. That's it.
Okay. And this is going to be a very Patriots-like answer. This is going to sound a lot like the conversations and what we heard when Welker signed with Denver. I remember Robert Kraft saying, like, well, we actually offered him more money. Like, what? How do you figure? If the dollar amount for 1 year, let's say the Patriots come up with $25 million. We want you to play another year for $25 million. And the Chargers say, Tom, we want you to play for 2 years for $40 million. That's more money, right? Obviously, the $40 million, but the $25 for 1 year is a better salary for that 1 year. That's why I'm saying it's not necessarily all about the bottom line dollar amount. It's about that, what are you going to pay me to play for one more year? And I think that's how Tom has to approach this. I think that's how all teams have to approach this. As a 43-year-old, would you give him more than a one-year contract right now?
Tom Brady?
Yes.
I would give him two.
Well, that's what he wants. My own thing for Brady is he's earned the right to go out there and find what he's worth.
I mean, would I give him one?
Sure.
One is certainly preferential to two, yeah, given where he's at in his career. But that doesn't mean I would not be willing to go to two. Three to me, three is too much.
Especially for a guy who said he wanted to play till he's 40. Okay, now we're at 45. You know, what are we doing? What am I going to do? What am I signing for?
And
a third,
by the
year
way,
for, when you have yourself have said, you know, that's probably the limit.
This is sort of the hard part about this. There's also, if you sign this player, you know, you're not going to get the Tom Brady of 5 years ago. There's going to be a decline here. He's not going to retire at 45 and be the same guy he was at 40 or the same guy he was at 35.
Well,
he's just not.
I think one thing we know, though, is the Patriots do treat every player the same. And I know this is Tom Brady, but they've let other players go out and test the market and have re-signed them, whether it's Dante Hightower, Julian Edelman, guys like that. Like, let him go out, find out what he's worth. And if the Patriots think it's worth it, don't you think they'll match? Like, do you think Tom Brady would really leave over $5 or $10 million?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I've been saying that in recent days. If there's an offer out there, let's say it's 2 years and $30 million, okay? And the Patriots say, yeah, we don't have 30 to give you, but we'll give you 26. We'll give you a little bump over what you had last year. We're not going to give you 30 a year, but we'll give you 26. So you're talking a difference of, in theory, $8 million over 2 years. Would he leave over $8 million? I don't think he would. I think he'd stay, which is why I sort of throw out this argument that there is no hometown discount. That's what we keep hearing. That's what his side keeps putting out there. No discount. Yeah, let's see you bring that no discount thing when the offers are in the same area and you get one from the team that's sort of close but not exactly what you got elsewhere. Are you going to leave over a little bit of money? I could see leaving over a lot of money. But $8 million is an insane amount of money to most of us. To Tom Brady, it just isn't. It's not. He's accumulated a lot of wealth in his lifetime between he and his family.
So is the answer to the question, or the questions, if Tom Brady stays, who do you thank? If Tom Brady leaves, who do you thank? If Tom Brady stays, who do you blame? Is the answer
all the same?
It's going to
be determined by the money.
Is the answer the money, or is the answer the Patriots' ownership?
My guess is, in the end, we're going to be thanking Brady if he ends up staying, because it won't be for, if he stays, it won't be for top dollar. So there's going to be a way for you to look at it and say, thank you to him for coming back. You would give him the appreciation of staying is what you would give. And if he leaves, so maybe the answer is not the same now that you think about it. If he leaves because he says no, you know, but if the offer's close though, I'm inclined to say, all right, that's on Brady. The situation I sort of gave you, if he leaves over $7 or $8 million, I'm inclined to say, oh, Brady, you didn't want, you couldn't stay for that. Like, they didn't, as long as the offer is not insulting compared to the other offers, I think you'll end up blaming Brady too. In that situation I just described, the answer would be blame for Brady and thanks to Brady.
So the answer is not necessarily the same. It depends on.
Yeah, there's ways in which it wouldn't be, but for the most part, I think it might align.
I think you're right, and I think if Tom Brady ends up staying, the one you have to thank for this is Tom Brady. Right?
Yes.
Right.
Well, what if he doesn't, though? What if he's walking out the door? What if he's gone? Then you're left with this question of what the hell is the team going to do? I will discuss that. Hardy's got a question about that. 617-779-0985. How the Patriots now piece their future together with or without Tom Brady. We're talking about that today. We'll talk to Billy Jaffe at 10:50 about the Bruins. Joe Murray's with us. Plenty of good stuff to get to today. How do those Kraft comments play with you, by the way? Like, how do you feel about the entire situation, just reading those comments the way they read? They're not at all about keeping Tom Brady. It's very standoffish. It's about, you know, thanking Tom Brady.
Here's what I think.
I can tell you, I read them, and the chances of Tom Brady staying in New England when I read them, in my mind, went down. Went down.
Here's what I think. If Tom Brady having the ability to do whatever he wanted at the end of this season was, in fact, the most important thing to him, and that's, you know, really what he was after, then Robert Kraft is that he's either giving that to him or at very least creating the illusion of that for Tom. So he can say, hey, this is everything he wanted, you know? You know, it's the old adage of, you know, if you love something, just set it free, right? That's what he's doing. Tom, you can do whatever you want, man, you know? Our time here with him was great. What he wanted was to have complete autonomy at the end of this season, be able to go and do whatever he wants. And that's where we are right now. You know, even if you know in the back of your mind you're going to do everything you can to re-sign him, or if you feel in your heart that he's going to re-sign here anyway, you put it out there as a means to play a little reverse psychology with him, or give him, in the court of public opinion, the image of being the guy who is making the decision. I'm doing this as a gift to you. I'm making it all about, hey, you're the man.
Right, it could be that too, where he's sort of playing to Brady's wants and desires.
And I think,
you want this, I want to give it to you. You deserve that.
And you see how players feel about Robert Kraft. They may feel a certain way about the coach after they leave here. They may not feel great about contracts that weren't offered at the very end, but they also know that's coming from the coach. I would say players, when it comes to Robert, they love the guy, right? This is part of it. You know, you don't get to be that type of a businessman and have these types of relationships with people if you're generally unlikable. That's what all these guys have in common. Whether you think they're a buffoon, whether you think it's the president, whether you think it's a captain of industry, people spend time with them. They love them. They love these guys. They make that, and it's for reasons like this. They know what to say in the moment. They know what to say to your face, and they know what to say to a reporter when you're talking about them to make you feel, wow, that guy gets me. That guy really understands. That guy is giving me the freedom to do whatever I want and make my own choices. Who knows who's really pulling the strings on this one? But that's how I read a lot of stuff like this, Beadle. And it's not deceptive. I think he genuinely feels this is the best way to keep the quarterback if that's what he wants. And if he doesn't want to keep the quarterback, then there's nothing more to it other than he's just saying, hey, it was great. But either way, it serves the same purpose. You know, you can say that one thing and have it serve both purposes.
This other quote, I just hope and believe that Tom, he is so special that he's earned the right to do what's best for him. But I just hope and pray we fit into his plans. You have some some ability here to make your team, the New England Patriots, fit into his plans. This is not something that is out of your control.
Of course not.
If you're Robert Kraft.
But if what Brady wanted more than anything else was control, he's given it to him right now. Even if it's the illusion of control, he's given it to him by making statements like that. You know, that's what Brady wanted. He wanted the ability to do anything at the end of the season, and now he's got it. Of course it takes two to tango and all this stuff, so he's got a huge say in how it goes down. But if what Brady wants is to feel like he's in control, well, let him feel like he's in control.
Talking about knowing how lucky the team has been, saying, but we also know you can't rest on your laurels. Things change, and you've got to have an edge, and look to how you keep things going the best you can. That doesn't scream, we need to hang on to Tom Brady. That's the opposite of that. That is, well, we need to keep our edge and we need to get, you know, whatever's going to make us great for the next however many years. Maybe that's not Tom Brady. So there's nothing in here about we're going to do our part to try and keep Tom Brady here in New England. There's nothing indicating that in these comments. It's all about Tom and Tom's freedom and Tom's ability to choose his future, and we're hoping and praying that we're a part of his plans. I would say stop hoping and praying and call him and get him in and say you want him a part of your plans. But there's also the other element of this, and that is Bill Belichick. And that's why there needs to be that meeting, if it hasn't already happened, between ownership and football about what the future is at quarterback. Because if there's a decision that has to be made between Bill and Brady, and let's say Bill says, you know what, it's time for us to move on and keep that edge. We got to get the next guy, and this is the time to do it. Robert Kraft is not going to overrule him. He's not going to overrule him on that. And if that's the case, they're just going to let Brady walk and go find a job elsewhere. And that's the way. That's why the other night when Brady said, I hope I'm not retiring, right, when the end, he said, it's unlikely, very unlikely. I hope I'm not retiring. I think that's the scenario of the team says, all right, Tom, you know, so long. Go get your offer out there in free agency. And then all of a sudden the offers don't look as good as he thought they would. And he thinks, do I want to go to this other team to keep this going, or do I want to go home? And that's the situation I think would lead to him going home and retiring.
Yes. Okay. Your point about if Robert Kraft's somehow not in control of this, right? Because you say if Belichick wants to move on, then he has to allow him to move on. Is that what you think?
No. What do you mean?
Well, because you said if they decide they want to go in a different direction, and if you
no, not the owner, the coach
the
might
coach,
want to go in a different direction.
That Robert Kraft would
he's not going to overrule him.
He's not going to overrule
Belichick
on this one. Okay. And just like the Patriots and this, you know, this dynasty run, I would not believe it until I saw it. And I'm the same way with Tom Brady playing with the Patriots, right? I don't believe that Robert Kraft is going to allow it to get to that point. I'll believe it when I see it. So I still say it's either Patriots or retirement. I can't believe that ownership is going to allow him to walk away and play for another team.
They will if Bill wants that to happen. If Bill wants to get a new quarterback and Bill wants to move on, they're going to have to. Because you can't pick Brady over Bill right now. You can't.
They've done it before.
Yeah, they did years ago. And you can't do it now.
It was the right decision then.
It's not the right decision now. It was then. It is not now. That is not the right call. It is not the right call to overrule Bill and risk him saying, you know what? I've had enough of being the Patriots head coach. I'm good. You cannot risk that here.
So
if it comes down to money,
yes.
If Bill says, yeah, we want Tom back. We're better with Tom. And, you know, yeah, we might go through a little bit of a rebuild here, but we still want Tom here while it's going on. If he says, yes, I want Tom here, then Robert Kraft and ownership could get involved in the money. But they're not going to get involved in the football call, and they shouldn't. Stay out of the way. Don't lose Bill.
I don't think you can afford to lose Bill Belichick because I think he's your coach here for the next 5 years minimum. You know, I think that's, but who knows? We don't know what his contract is. He may be up right now. We don't know.
He may be looking at the Cleveland job right now.
He could be.
What do we know?
Don't know anything about his contract. But what I do know is that Robert Kraft has said in so many words in past years, Tom Brady is not going to play for another team. We are not going to. What do you think? I'm stupid? Going to allow Tom Brady to leave this organization and play quarterback for another team? No. And I think Jonathan has said as much. They want him here for as long as they possibly can. And if that ends up what happens, Beetle, that they have to choose between the coach and the quarterback, that marks a huge change in ceding, you know, the ultimate control of the organization over to the coach as opposed to the owners. And I'm not saying it would be the wrong one, you know, long term, but since they've already, at least we think, overruled him once based on the Jimmy Garoppolo situation.
That was the right call.
If they don't
now
do
it, now it is not.
If they don't do it again, then things have changed. Things are just different.
Joe's got headlines. And as you said, you know, as we've described, if the coach wants to get the next quarterback right now, what's that look like? How do you do that? If it happens even today, if Brady were to decide, you know, in the next couple of months, I'm done. I'm going to be retired. I don't want to play football anymore. How do the Patriots recover? What do they do? How do they respond? We'll get to that and your calls on the way. Billy Jaffe joins us at 10:50. Well, that's nice. Bill Belichick says nobody respects Tom Brady more than he does. How do you quantify that? How do you measure that, Bill? How do you know that you respect him more than anybody else?
Well, you're taking him awfully literally there, Beetle.
Does he talk better about LT or Tom Brady?
Right. All right, so if Brady leaves, he decides, I'm out of here. I got somewhere else to be. Or he decides that other place to be is home with my wife and kids and into my next business venture. It's not playing football anymore. Mm. Where does that leave the Patriots?
I'd move on from Josh McDaniels ASAP.
What would you do, Hardy? What do you do?
Give me the options again. Lay it out for me.
Options? What options would you like?
Brady's gone.
That's sort of the question. What are the options? Brady's left. He's out. He's done. Goodbye.
And I need a quarterback.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would assume so. You usually do play football with a quarterback.
Who am I playing here? Am I playing Robert or am I playing Bill?
You can play either one. But whoever you choose, who would you like to be?
Brady's gone.
Brady's gone. I just want everyone to know that Hardy wanted to talk about this. This was Hardy's topic.
Well, you set it up differently.
Well, how would you set it up? Brady's gone.
We'll do it this way.
You set it up your way.
We'll do it this way. What do we do at quarterback? What are we doing?
That's a question I just asked you.
I guess you got to go with Stiggy. You do everything you can. You see, you say get rid of Josh McDaniels.
Oh, get him out of here.
I say you keep Josh McDaniels and you go with Stidham.
You think Stidham's the guy and can play?
I don't know what the other options are right now. You pick up Jacoby Brissett, see if you can get him.
You got to make a trade.
I know.
You're Brian Hoyer again.
Stop it. Don't. We're having a serious conversation here, Murray. I like Brian.
You mentioned Brissett, though. I might as well bring him up.
This is the tough question. This is why.
I know. This is why you wanted to talk about it. How would you prefer to set that up to make it an easier question? Brady's gone. Now what? You go with the young kid or you go out in the market?
He makes the announcement way before anybody expects him to. I'm done.
He does it today.
I'm retiring
right now,
from football.
At 11 a.m., Brady comes to his Instagram account and throws up a little statement and a thank you message and says, see you soon. I'm not playing football anymore.
You do everything you can to make sure Bill's on board moving forward, which I think he is, because I think of all the draft issues, I think Bill's got a pretty decent record of drafting at the quarterback position, right? So you talk to Bill, you say, is there anybody out there that
you're not as good as you give him credit for?
It's pretty
I wouldn't
good.
Call it decent.
It's pretty good. I think Jacoby Brissett could be a decent quarterback at some point. Jimmy Garoppolo
The ones he's hit on have been pretty good.
Yes.
Brady, obviously.
I mean, bringing in Ryan Mallett was head-scratching.
I hardly even count the Brady one. Yeah, throwaway pick at 199. And he had one coach on his staff in Dick Rabine that was all about getting Brady. Like, this kid can really play. We should get him. You know, they passed on him how many times, and he fell and continued to fall in the draft. That at that point, you're throwing, and it's just like, yeah, who's left? Yeah, go ahead. Use your sixth-round pick on this guy.
We say, look, Stidham, we think you're the guy. We're going to go forward. You're not getting anything else. You're not getting any more money, right? Whatever you're on the books for, that's what you're going to make. We're going to try and make this work. And then you use those resources. You don't give away a bunch of picks to try and move up and get Tua, which you're not going to anyway. That's just – it's not I don't see that as a realistic possibility.
Tua's going to fall.
How far?
I don't know, but they're 23. They don't have to move up from 32. They're moving up from 23.
They got to move up to 8.
I mean, 5's Miami first. They play a spread offense. They just brought in Chan Gailey. But maybe they sit him for a year with Fitzpatrick again. So, I mean, he could get past him.
I just don't see that as a realistic notion. I think you've got a guy in here that you've given a look at already, and he already knows the offense. You keep McDaniels. If Belichick thinks that he's the guy, unless he's really hot on somebody down there and that he thinks is going to be available where you're actually picking at 23, or Lord knows, even lower than that, then you let him make that decision. But I think it would be Stidham. If I had to make the decision and Bill just throws up his hands and say, I don't know, what do you think we should do? Let's try it with Stidham. I can't believe I'm saying it.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what you're looking at, though. So
what would you do?
I would try to maybe, if anyone is actually available who's any good, look at the free agent market. But I don't think there's anybody who's really going to be out there that's going to be a massive upgrade over going with a young kid who you want to develop into your next guy. Who's the upgrade that's going to be available?
Then Tom Brady, there's no one. There's no one.
I mean,
you could take a shot at a Mariota. Maybe you strike. Like,
no thanks. No thanks. I'd rather have Stidham.
But I mean, if McDaniels is back, that he liked him. Do you try to trade for a young QB? I mean, who's the kid in Houston, the backup there that they
like,
tried?
You know, Dak Prescott's not becoming available.
Right.
You want Jameis Winston?
No.
No.
Do you want Philip Rivers? No.
Andy Dalton.
Teddy Bridgewater is going to be free,
I think. That'd be interesting. It'd be interesting.
That's one name that might interest me, but I don't think that, you know, is it worth it to bring in Teddy Bridgewater versus trying to develop your next guy? Mm. The playing time for your next guy might be more valuable than trying to stopgap your situation with Teddy Bridgewater.
And how much money would you have to pay Teddy Bridgewater?
Oh, you'd probably have to. I mean,
you'd have to pay him.
But you'd have to pay him.
But not as much as
Stidham.
Brady, I'm saying.
No, it'd be
peanuts.
Less than that, but you look at what's available, and if Brady leaves, Stidham's going to get the job.
And Cody Kessler, they lie, and they kept him around. I don't know if they want to go.
Oh, yay. Stidham is the quarterback next year.
And I know they always liked A.J. McCarron.
And we have zero idea if Stidham's any good at this level. None. In fact, what we've seen in real live game action has not been good.
Well, if you ask me, Beadle.
Very limited sample, so that's really not even fair.
It's very, very limited. And I thought, again, he looked pretty good in some preseason contests, but so did Jacoby Myers. You know, those two were hooking up, you know.
Yeah.
Like, good jazz. I mean, it looked good between those two. And what does that mean in the real world?
I would try to tank for Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if you can do that in the AFC East. I don't know if you can actually tank. But, like, you could let everybody go. Like, start over, try to have Belichick do a rebuild. You know, I don't think you can tank, though, in this division.
No. They've got too much in place. They don't need
that. And then if you looked ahead, Trevor Lawrence is obviously the big name, but there are some other guys. Sim Ellinger will probably be a big name.
Do you hear the kind of stuff we're talking about, though? Draft names, tanking, Jarrett Stidham. That's what the other side of this looks like if Brady leaves.
That's what everyone...
And so forgive me for feeling like the owner should be acting with a little more urgency than he is, hoping and praying Tom Brady fits into their plans.
You really have to... You have to convince yourself and anybody else that says, fine, let Brady go. Let's... Okay, then what? And it's not necessarily our job to do it, but
yeah,
when you
part
do,
two
when
sort you, of sucks.
When you do it for 30 seconds, it's not easy. That's a real question. With a coach, with the coordinators, with receivers, okay, all right, fine. Well, let them go find somebody. No. Think about it for a second. There's a very, you know, not a ton of guys out there, you know? A finite number of people can actually do that job. If you want to be anything other than 2-14 next year. So think about it for a second. Who do you go with? The more you talk about it, the more you know what? They've really got to get Brady back for at least another year.
Right. And so this is what I think people need to consider, though. When they say, you know what? Brady is, though, winding down, and there is a little bit of a decline happening, and it's only going to get worse over the next 2 or 3 years to the point where he's not really a player anymore. Yes, I understand that. I get all of that. Do you really want the alternative? Do you want the... Are you ready mentally for the alternative to a declining Brady finishing his career in a Patriots uniform and not looking like top-shelf Tom Brady? Just looking like old man Tom Brady. I'll take old man Tom Brady all day. Yes. You ride that horse until it goes to the glue factory. That is what you do.
And buy yourself another year of looking and figuring out what happens next.
I mean, look at the Broncos, right?
You push that decision down the road. You kick that can
for another
it. Day.
We're going to table that.
Yeah. Mm. Ooh. Stidham and tanking and Trevor Lawrence. And is Tua going to fall? What? Get out of here with that. We're not ready for that. We are collectively not ready for that here in New England. Let's not do it.
You ready for more wild stuff? I'm just thinking. Andrew Luck out of retirement.
Okay, all right.
now,
all right.
Now we're
See,
really
this
reaching.
Is what we're doing now.
I was going to say it as a goof, but...
Billy Chaffee will join us coming up next on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. He'll help us ease our way back into the winter sports season without the Patriots and talk a little Bruins with him next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Oilers are going to improve to 22-17-5. Only their fourth win in the last 11 games as Smith shovels it to the near corner and the horn sounds. The Bruins have only lost twice in regulation on home ice and one of those games today. The Oilers win it 4-1 over the Bruins here at TD Garden. So the Bruins now drop to 24-8-11 overall.
Talk to Billy Chaffee of Nesson on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Billy joining us now to talk about his Boston Bruins. Hi, Billy.
Hello, Beto. Hello there, Hardy.
Hi. How you doing, Billy?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Sounds like you're doing better than the Bruins. That's what it sounds like.
I, you know what? I might be, I might not be. I'm just doing me right now. I'm good. I'm fine. Listen, the Bruins are not playing great right now. They're not getting the results. I think we know that. And they need to change a little, couple little things around, a little energy, a little more production from some of their mid-six guys. And they need to get through this. They need to get through this strong before their extended break coming up. So you go into that feeling pretty decent about yourself. You know, look, come on. It's cliche 101. Long season. We know that, but definitely need to rectify some things. No question.
Billy, okay, so what's more troubling to you? Is it the fact that they have difficulty winning either in overtime or the shootout?
No.
Or is it giving up late goals?
Yep.
That forces, yep, these things in the first place?
Yes, sir. That last one, the latter.
Okay.
What's concerning to me is when they have a lead, when they can't extend the lead, some of the puck decisions that they're making in certain areas. I had a long talk with Bruce Cassidy about that yesterday, and I asked him about his frustration level. And, you know, understanding that the long season can be very taxing, very trying, not just on players but on coaches too, because, you know, even though physically they're not the ones doing it, mentally they're the ones trying to keep everybody going through this, you know, gruel that is the NHL season. And he said, look, the offense is going to come and go. I get that. But some of our puck decisions, that's what's been bothersome in times when we're going and going and we could get some more offense and we make a real bad kind of, he didn't use the term bonehead, but bad pass. He used the term, you know, we need to manage things better, and we haven't. To me, Hardy, that's been the more concerning thing. And then when they make that mistake, you can see that moment of, oh no. And then that's when they give up that goal. And that's what you need to see them eradicate from their game.
What about even strength scoring for this team and where it's come from? And do the same issues exist on this team that existed at the end of last year, which is the secondary scoring on this team just isn't there?
Well, I wouldn't say at the end of last year per se, although I guess it was a little better than they brought in, you know, Coyle and Johansson, and it really flourished in the playoffs.
You're so, right. In the playoffs, yeah, everybody went dry at the end. It wasn't just the secondary guys.
Yeah. I know where you're, okay, I get where you're going at. Yeah, it is. Look, we're still, you know, we're still in that spot of the second line right wing conundrum or third line center. And you know, I've said it to you, I've said it many times, Charlie Coyle is a better third line center than he is a regular second line winger because it makes your team significantly better. Now, with that said, if they cannot go out and get a legitimate top six right wing, and right now, nobody's knocking on the Bruins' door to say, here, take one of my top six guys for nothing, you know?
Right, right.
Then they're going to have to go out and get a good third-line center, and they're going to have to either see if Charlie can bump up, or they're going to have to do it by committee, whether it is an Anders Bjork who's going to get a chance, you know, in this game, or it's a Danton Heinen, or it's a Carson Kuhlman. And it doesn't become, Beetle, a regular guy up there. It becomes that committee or that rotating committee. And you see how many
considering how far they had to go last season and the ultimate result, because we've seen much bigger drop-offs from Stanley Cup teams and Stanley Cup finalist teams than we've seen from the Bruins this year. I mean, for the most part, they've been playing well.
For the most part, yes. But, you know, I was thinking that, Hardy. And then I look over to the Western Conference and take a look who's leading the Western Conference.
I know.
And it's the St. Louis Blues, who, I got to tell you something, I thought would be...
I thought so, too.
I thought they would be good.
I thought people were going to, at least the teams that had to see them on a more regular basis, were going to figure them out defensively. Or not that they were defensively, they were a fraud, but that whole notion of just playing, you know, a good solid blue line game,
yep,
and relying on, you know, good performances from your goaltender, that teams were going to be able to figure out a way around that. And so far, they really haven't.
They haven't. And Craig Berube's done a beautiful job. And anyways, they're a good team. And they added Justin Falk, et cetera. I think getting back to your original question, do I think they're playing better than? No, I don't. I think their results have been better than I thought. And that's two different things, because they were winning a lot of games, scoring a lot early, and doing great. And I'm like, whoa, this can't keep up. I guess that's the pessimist in me. On the other hand, I keep saying now, well, this can't keep up either, meaning what we're seeing here and there. It's somewhere in the middle. I've said this all along. I think they're a good to a very good team. I think the Bruins, I don't think they're a great team, but they can get there. If we learned anything from the regular season, it's that you need to not just get in. I don't want to see them fall to the eighth spot and get in. Play well, though, down the stretch. Figure some things out. And then, you know what, Hardy, I could say that this team could be excellent again. I know they're not there yet, though. They're just not yet.
Billy, when the All-Star rosters came out, Brad Marchand was third in the NHL in points. And on the NHL rosters, 9 of the 10 top scorers in the league made it to the NHL All-Star game. The only guy that didn't was Brad Marchand. Is that a reputation thing? He didn't make it to the final vote either. Why is that?
I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you. There's a lot of things that can go into it. Maybe I got to tell you something. I don't think Brad Marchand minds having the time off either. I haven't asked him that, but I'm gonna guess that it's not the worst thing. You know, he's got young family too. The guy, you know, busts his ass regularly.
He's a father now.
Yes, he is. I think that there's a look at teams around the league by the committee, and I can tell you this, that the league, the people struggle to make these teams, and especially given the fact that everybody's got to have one person from every team make the All-Star game.
Right.
And I think they struggle with it, and I think they try and figure it out, and I think they want to see who's the most deserving always. And if there's somebody that, of course he's deserving.
And if they have to leave someone off, they leave off the guy they don't like.
Maybe. I don't know. Nobody, maybe. maybe they canvass people. Maybe they canvass teams and they say, who's dinged up a little? Who might need a little time off? Maybe that happens too.
All right. Okay. All right, Billy. Appreciate your time.
Gentlemen, first time in the new year. Happy, healthy. May it be a wonderful one for you guys.
Yeah. We'll be watching you tonight, huh?
Yeah, 7 o'clock pregame, full-hour pregame against Nashville, who I think just named their new coach.
Who is it? They fired LaViolette yesterday. Who is it?
John Hines. I've been on the phone with you. I think they just announced it. I had heard rumblings of that last night, but I couldn't confirm, and I heard more this morning. John Hines, you coached the New Jersey Devils, former BU Terrier guy, too. Wonderful guy, very good structured. It'll be interesting to see how they react. Wonderful guy. I'm thrilled for him.
Yeah, you know, quickly, if I could just follow up, now that this game is happening tonight and they just made that coaching move, what went wrong in Nashville with Peter LaViolette as head coach? Because a couple of years ago, things seemed to be going well.
Yeah, things were going well. They seemed to lose their focus defensively, their structure defensively. They play a man-to-man beetle. They didn't seem to be dedicated to it, but they also brought in some big-ticket guys. Mike Milbury talked about this last night on NBC, and it's hard to disagree. And I did the game of Winter Classic last week with them against Dallas, and, you know, whether it's a Duchesne or a Johansson, this year Kyle Turris has been non-existent, too, for them. I don't think there was I think the time had come for a change, a different voice, and I just don't think that the players are very culpable and guilty in this, too, that they weren't their give-a-heck meter at times in their own zone wasn't sufficient enough, too. Put it that way.
Thank you, Billy. Appreciate it, as always.
See you, guys. All right, guys.
Billy Jaffe on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. You can also hear that game right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub coming up tonight. You can also hear Dan Shaughnessy, who will join us in just a moment after these headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.